Would you say this with me? Fight on.
Fight on.
Fight on for, no. The old, say it again. Fight on.
Fight on.
Okay, I want to encourage you this morning that you are a fighter. There's no bully. They can beat you up. There's no circumstance that can defeat you because you're a fighter. And you are going to fight in the right way for the right thing at the right time. You're going to fight for that kid. You're going to fight for that marriage. You're going to fight for that illness because you're a fighter. A Proverbs 31 woman is an amazing woman. She is not a weakling. It says her arms are strong. And the men of God, you know, you read about some of David's men. He went down in a snowy pit and killed a lion. And the other stories of the violence that you see in the Old Testament, it was real fighting. But that's not what I'm talking about in that sense, because the thing about fighting is we can fight in our own strength, in our own carnality, and that fighting will eventually lead to anger and breakdowns and compound problems. But I want to say, to remind you this morning, that you're in a good fight. Would you say good fight? Okay, whatever you're going through this morning, it's a good fight. It's good. Many things in scriptures are good. Creation's good. When he separated the dry land from the sea, every creeping thing, all the cattle, it was all good. The whole thing started out so good. Even when he made man, he said, very good. But the issue was the knowledge of good and evil. Adam, you can eat from any tree in this garden. Anything you want. I mean, the whole thing. You've got all of South Coast Plaza, except this one store you can't go in. And you can't get anything there. You've got all of everything except don't eat. Don't go near. He said, no, don't eat. From the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. So the battle in the very beginning with our free will was over good and evil. And when our parents partook of that, their nature was changed. They were still made in the image of God, but they're marred now, and they have a sinful nature. And that sinful nature, he told them, it'll bring forth death. And so the world that we live in, why is all this stuff happening? It's all part of the very beginning, the sinful nature working in man. The first child of the first parents outside the garden was a murderer. It wasn't society's fault. They didn't even have time to make it his fault. It wasn't the school's fault. He had it in him. He had murder in his heart and jealousy from the very beginning. And so we are engaged in an epic struggle, starting with ourselves. The enmity, in Romans says, the flesh and the spirit are at enmity with one another. So we're in a battle with our own selves. And then we're in a battle for others. And then we're in a battle in broader sense. But I want to say it's a good fight. So many good things in scriptures. Good deeds, good works, good confession. Good fruit, good morals, good discipline, good conscience. He's a good servant. Good faith, good courage, good foundation. He's a good soldier. Caleb and Joshua came back and said, it's a good land. And Jesus is the good shepherd. He's not just a shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And that word good, I've said it in previous weeks, it means commendable. It means excellent. It means virtuous. It means honorable. It means worthy. The word is kalos. And all of those things. So that's the fight I'm in. That's the fight you're in. whatever you're going through this morning, it is a commendable fight. But you've got to fight in the right way. It's an excellent fight. It's a virtuous fight. The things, Jamie and I have spent a lot of time talking and wrestling with what he's doing with these kids and people he meets in the Picario and in San Antonio, but what he's involved in a fight. But it's a good fight. It's a virtuous fight. It's an honorable fight. It's a worthy fight. The Greek word for the word fight is agon or agonia, agony. It means conflict, struggle. You and I were not born again by incorruptible seed to have a conflict-free life. You do get special parking places at the mall. That's one of the bonuses of being a Christian, right? But you are involved in a conflict. Peter says, what's going on with you? Why are you surprised as some strange thing were coming upon you? Why are you surprised by these fiery trials? We were made for that very purpose, to be in the midst of this, to be engaged in a struggle. And that's another word for the fight. It's a struggle. It's a race. It's a contest. So you and I are literally in a good agony. You're in a good struggle this morning. Paul, at the end of his life, said, I have struggled a good, worthy fight. Another way of saying it, I've fought the fight. I've run the race. He said he fought a good fight. That's what I want for myself and each one of us. At the end of the day, we sang about it this morning, that you and I fought a good fight. And stop thinking that the fight itself is bad. It's good. He said he finished his course and he kept the faith. In the bulletin it says, extraordinary afflictions are not always punishment of extraordinary sins, but sometimes the trial of extraordinary graces. Sanctified afflictions are spiritual promotions. How many of you want some sanctified afflictions? See, we don't get to pick that either. No, God knows we're not looking to have a sanctified affliction. But God knows that that is part of life in the journey. And in that, when you are dealt with a place, when you're wounded, when you're hurt, when things go wrong, God is at work, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And He's put something in you to fight. He doesn't make believers just to wring their hands and go, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I didn't say hard. It's impossible. Impossible. I mean, that's a very strong statement. It's impossible. And we have to align ourselves with Him. And when we see our dear friends' health and what many of in our church have gone through the last year, and children, and what Jamie just said, you know, God's at work. I don't understand it. Aren't you glad I'm not God? I'm really glad you're not God. For a couple things I want to say. I want to say that, first of all, that we had a great men's retreat. I'm sorry we weren't here. I heard Erin brought the roof down, said she really did a great job, and I want to thank you, Erin, for doing that. It was great because Mike wasn't there. She had to get ready for that, and Cade and their whole schedule. It stretched her, but you did it, and I know God blessed you in it. And we appreciate your prayers for us at the retreat. It was a... some of us think it was maybe our favorite one. Hoorah. We had four different men share, and really interesting. I mean, but each one of the men that shared from different backgrounds, different experiences, they all came to that point along the way. The common thread is they got so far, and then all of the, it seems like all of a sudden they're dealing with God. Almost all of them had had some exposure to God at some point, and then God gets pushed off to the margins and life takes over. And then as life takes over, life isn't so good. You know, he promised us life and life more abundantly. You remember in Pilgrim's Progress when Christian is first saved and he has this huge pack on his back. And he says, who can relieve me of my burden? And he meets Evangelist. And Evangelist comes along and takes the pack of sin off his back. And he's freed. And so then he says, okay, now I'm a Christian. What do I do next? He says, yonder gate. And it's way, way off. And he says, and stay on the path, the narrow path that leads to life. And he said, okay. And he starts out. And the first person he meets is Mr. Worldly Wise. And Mr. Worldly Wise says, hey, where are you going? What are you doing? He says, oh, I'm going to yonder gate. And he says, why are you going this way? He said, well, that's the way I was told to go. Stay on the path. He says, no. There's a shortcut. You don't want to stay on this path. Can't you see if you cut through here, you've got it made? He says, oh, gee, thanks. So he takes the shortcut, and he falls into the slough of despond. And he's trapped in a swamp, and he's drowning. Mud all over him, and so then along comes Charity, is his name, and Charity spots him in the swamp, and he's drowning, and he's in quicksand. He comes and he pulls him out, washes him off, puts him back on the path. Now stay on the path. In our testimonies, there are a lot of times where we tried shortcuts, or we tried other cuts, or we gave the Lord less than our all, and the wonderful thing. Each of their stories had a point of where they had come to see God as God, and it was powerful. And I'm convinced for those four men and for all of us, it's because they fought at the right time for the right things. First thing I want to say, if we could bring up Exodus 15:2. This happened right after they crossed the Red Sea. You know the story of the plagues and Israel coming out and Moses lifting his staff and crossing the Red Sea. And this song was sung by Miriam. She led it. She said, the Lord is my strength and song. The Lord is my strength and song. And he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior. Would you say that? How many want to be like Jesus? Okay, there you go. The Lord is his name. Keep going. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea, and the choices of his officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deeps cover over them. They went down to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. God is a warrior. Do you know where he is right now, where Jesus is? Seated where? Right hand of God the Father Almighty. What is he doing? Did you know that Jesus is praying for you right now? Okay, Kevin, I don't understand that. How does that work? Okay, let me do this. Let me not explain it to you because I'm not sure I understand it. Okay, so let's not, all you analytical types, what do you mean? Go to Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he's able to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always, would you say always? Always lives to make intercession for them. So this warrior, God, who did it all, Jesus, whom we see in the Gospels, he rose from the dead, conquered death and sin, went 40 days afterwards, rose and ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, where he will come one day to judge the living and the dead. all judgment of all people in all times and all countries and all nations and all ethnicities will bow the knee to his singular judgment one day. And we will see the glory of God like we've never seen it before. There will be no other gods, no other pretenders to the throne at this time. All things are held together in Christ. In him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's a powerful thing, this God we serve, this warrior. This warrior who can sit down, go to the woman at the well and say, give me a drink. This warrior that can deal with a woman in adultery and say, you without sin, you go ahead and stone her first. This warrior said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. This meek and lowly of heart warrior who aroused in righteous anger goes into the local church cathedral and they're selling all kinds of stuff and he turns the tables over and says, my house is a house of prayer. Don't turn church into a commerce. My house, my Father's house is a house of prayer. He's a warrior. So first and foremost this morning, I want to be like him, and he's a warrior. And I don't know, whoever thinks they're the most timid person in this room, I want you to stop that. Will you do that? Stop being timid. Start fighting for the right things. God's not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline. So, he holds this priesthood forever, and I don't understand it. God, Jesus is interceding. That helps me a lot. How many of you feel like you don't pray enough? Matt, you agree with that? Okay. But how... John, does it make you feel good that Jesus is always praying for you? That Jesus is making intercession right now for your situation? How God harnesses himself to prayer, and we're part of his body, so while we're on this side of eternity, he says, pray without ceasing. Join with me, because the battle is more than what we see with our eyes and what we hear with our ears. Let's go to Romans 8:28. Or beginning in 26. Let's go to 24. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. This is the Apostle Paul talking. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts and knows the mind of what of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So not only is Jesus ever interceding, but the Holy Spirit who dwells in you is interceding within your own spirit to line us up to fight the good fight. And we know that God causes, we know this, okay? We don't necessarily always enjoy it. But we know something. If you know something, you know it. If you don't know it, you don't know it. Pretty simple. But there are, he said, there's no such fool as a knowing fool. That you think you know something, but you don't know it. You just think you do. But if you know this, you really know something. For we know that God causes all things, oh man, that's a powerful statement, to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer. You got to be a fighter to say this. In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced of this. I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I'm convinced. I don't like it. I didn't say all things are good. This thing with Beth, I'm not saying it's good. I'll even go as far as to say it's bad. But it's working together for good already. And I don't know how God will put all that together. God is God. I know that. And I know I'm not. In the midst of this fight, you have an enemy. How many of you this morning believe that if you leave the devil alone, he'll leave you alone? Yeah, don't bug him, you know. It's kind of like some diplomacy we've seen internationally at times. Just try to appease. You can't not appease a murderer, a thief, and a liar. And that's what the enemy is. This is the amazing thing. This is, you know, where I'm really being exercised. I have been my whole life, and I always will be. But the biggest thing for me is to love. It's really hard. I know some of you got it down, but I'm telling you, this lady came up to me. I was at a thing with my brother. It was a convention. She heard I was a pastor, unfortunately, because it wasn't Christian. Nothing was going on. I was just there as my brother's brother, you know. But he told her, so she comes up and she goes, "Praise God, Pastor. How you doing today?" And my hair blew back, and she said, I said, "How are you?" She said, "You know, what do you think God's saying in these last days? Because we know what's lining up and all these things." I mean, she asked me, and then she told me what He was saying. And she went on and on and on and on. And I finally looked at her and I said, "He's trying to help me love more." All the air went out of her balloon. That is so unimpressive. And I said, "I'll tell you why. You know who Gary Smalley is?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "He's a millionaire by going around the world telling husbands how to love their wives. And Jesus' bar is a little bit higher. We're working on loving our wives. He's saying love your enemies. And some of you say that can be one and the same. They're not. You're one flesh. No man ever hated his own flesh. So, but think about that. Not that joke. Think, yeah. You guys are bad. You got to be careful. Okay, Luke 6:27. You're not going to like this part because you're not going to be able to process it because you're thinking like a man, not like a man and woman of the Spirit. Verse 27, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. But there's exclusions, right? I honestly don't see him putting anything in the verse that says, except for that one enemy who's really done you in. Or except the enemy that has done these terrible things in the wars, or this enemy that has done all this stuff. He says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. That's why I'm saying I'm having a hard time. I'm trying to think of the last time I really did something good for someone that just hates my guts. I mean, they hate my guts. If they hate my guts, when's the last time I said, hey, how you doing? You know, take another whack, you know? What is he talking about here? Do good to those who hate you? Look, I got limitations, okay? Bless those who curse you. When's the last time out of your heart you and I actually blessed someone that called you a blankety blank 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 to your face, and it wasn't a religious thing like bless you, or you didn't go, I'm sorry you feel that way, but you actually said, you know, I bless you. I was with somebody one time, and we were right, this is 35 years ago, we're walking down the road. It might have been my Catholic upbringing, because I used to always say a Hail Mary every time I heard an ambulance, not knowing. It's a good idea every time you hear an ambulance to pray. But I lost my train of thought. I got what? Never mind. It's not a good story anyway. But we have, oh yeah, okay, I'm walking with this friend, sorry, and the guy goes by and uses a ton of four-letter language and throws a cup at me of ice and goes by and phew. And I was a new Christian, and I said, Lord, I just really pray for that person. I don't know what they're doing, but God, help them. And the more mature Christian I was with rebuked me. He said, you shouldn't do that. Guy was trying to hurt you. I said, I know, but I don't know him. You know, and I went through this thing, and I you know, sometimes it's like common sense says you don't do that. And yet there's such a release when we take him at his word in some of these things. And I'll explain to you, and if you want to talk more in detail about, well, what does that mean, love your enemies? I know that's going through your heads. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. What's that about? Whoever takes away your coat, don't withhold your shirt for him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is it for you? If I only love people who love me, he's basically saying, that ain't a big deal. In some ways it's different, but the mafia, you scratch their back, they scratch yours. A lot of people say, mano a mano, we do this, I'll take care of you. Come see, come sigh. Yeah, well, you did it for me, I did it for you. That's not what he's talking about. Love those. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love him. So even people who aren't believers this morning love people who love them. So as Christians, sometimes we work so hard to love people And we're not even out of the batter's box because we're not fighting the good fight the way we need to do. We need to grow up and fight the fight and be advocates of His in love and prayer, witness, and all that goes along with that. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those who you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. Oh man, he's just hammering this. But love your enemies. Now that's the bar. Person you haven't forgiven this morning, the person you hate, to love them. And guess what? There's no pastor on earth, there's no conference on earth that can make that happen. You have to make it happen. You have to say, you really, oh, wait a minute, that's right, I was an enemy of yours. That's right, I was lost and you died for me while I was yet in sin. And when I cursed you and gave you the finger and ignored you, you still loved me and you brought me into your kingdom. That's right, I was an enemy and you loved me when I was an enemy. Oh, that's right, that's what you mean. I'm starting to get it, yeah. But even when I did that to you, you didn't take your hand off of me. Four testimonies. Every one of you guys should have been dead at one point or another. Marriages and families gone astray, but while we weren't even his friend, he put his love on you. He puts it on us this morning. Love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. For your reward, there is a reward to this, will be great. And when Jesus says it'll be a great reward, how many of you think that means dinner for two at a California Pizza? John will take it. Your reward will be great. I don't know what that is, but and you will be sons and daughters of the Most High. Now this is the part you got to get a hold of this morning. I got to get a hold of it. And I am preaching to myself. For He Himself is kind to ungrateful people. How many like ungrateful people? How many love ungrateful people? He is kind to ungrateful. Uh-oh. What is that? It might be a misprint. He says, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful people and evil people. Kevin, that's bad theology. He is not. I'm sorry. I'm just reading what it says. Ungrateful and evil people. Do you see the bar going up and what love is about? Because all I can say is this can be an abstract concept, or in your life, a parent, a grandparent, a spouse, a child, a friend, a boss, a teacher, a coach, a pastor, anybody that's had a part in your life that has hurt or injured, it's very easy to not love them. And love covers a multitude of sins. Love never fails. So he goes, he finishes, he's kind to ungrateful and evil men. He says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. That's a lot to chew on this morning, isn't it? And I hope you understand that I'm saying this in light of being a fighter. We really have to fight. And what the kind of love he's talking about there, I confess to you this morning that I cannot do that without the amazing grace that comes, God meeting a pressing need. That when you and I are open to God and walking with God, He'll give us an extraordinary grace at the right time. And another thing that struck me about the testimonies we heard at the men's retreat is these kind of insignificant serendipities they had in their life where this was no big deal, but that person said something or did something that made a huge influence in their life. So God is a warrior, and He has called us to be warriors Xenas? Any Xenas out there? Prince, you know, I never saw the show. Is it good? No, it's bad. Forget it. Deborahs. Any Deborahs out there? And we'll close with this. Let's stand in 2 Corinthians 10. In 2 Corinthians 6, he talks about, well, I want to close with three things in 2 Corinthians real quickly. 2 Corinthians 4:4 said, the God of this world has blinded the hearts of the unbelieving. So as you think about fighting, you're dealing with people that are blind. It's not about how good a parent you were or how loving you are. It's about the enemy blinding the hearts of the unbelieving. These people that you carry a burden for and you're fighting for, and maybe they're not carrying the burden right now, they're blind. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In 2 Corinthians 6:4, he talks about that, Paul talks about his struggle. And I don't know, I'll close with this because it's, when you became a Christian, how many of you were told you're in a vicious war with real casualties? No one told us. I mean, you came in, how many were told, hallelujah, you're going to heaven, it's good, God's good, come on, you need a Bible, let's go. We're in a war. And, you know, sometimes... Where is it? Here it is. 2 Corinthians 6:10. 2 Corinthians 6:10. 6:4. But in everything, committing ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by what? Weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers, yet true, as unknown, yet well known, as dying, yet behold, we live, as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. That's powerful stuff. What song do you have for us? All right, I'm going to pray for us after we sing. All things are possible.